Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It is beautiful. What's that going to be, Zoltar?
I think a tree.
A tree? What is a tree?
A lovely thing which grows on Earth.
Earth? You mean where my cousin went?
And where, one day soon, perhaps I might venture as well.
What's going on? Hey, what's going on?
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 580. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. Like Peter O'Toole, he likes to show people his ball done away.
Oh, look at it. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, we watch a full 2.5 minutes of opening credits. Swoosh! Look at this screen filling fly-by individual's name. Swoosh! Another lonely name flying through the galaxy of no context. Swoosh! I hope you don't eat all your popcorn before the movie even starts. Swoosh! Not even stylized 3D text and trippy rainbow chemtrails and music by Jerry Goldsmith can make this 1984 movie opening go faster. Swoosh! Are you not entertained? No, I'm not. And now I have to go get more popcorn. Anywho, my inner space Kryptonian smart bracelet is flashing and ringing, so that can only mean one thing. I need to steal this outer space yoga-powered travel pod with built-in costume changer, heated seats, and pumpkin spice latte maker. I just showed my southernness right there. Pumpkin spice latte maker. Because that's what the ladies like, the southern part, I guess. Yeah. And travel to Earth, where my hot boy cousin lives. Oh, he's so dreamy. Is that wrong? How about if I rub my fingers over his face in this picture that I keep in my wallet and make cooing noises? Coo. I love you. Yeah, ladies like. Now, excuse me. It is time to crush some rocks, use my hippie love vision to bloom some flowers, and do a few flying pirouettes for like 5 full minutes and scare the bejesus out of some of these horses who are pretty sure they're about to die. With the hands of the weirdest, it's a bird. No, it's a plane. It's just me. A man. A woman. Hey, Randy. Hand me my magic stick. We about to get done away evil up in this place. Because that's what the ladies like. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Magic stick, like that weird corkscrew freaking
magic
wand thing.
Stick.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. Nicely done. Also with us, Randy. He always brought his giant stuffed panda to the game, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Brian.
Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Hold on. I'm getting another broadcast. Oh, never mind. It's just a massively important explanation of why the most important person on this planet is billions of miles away for the next couple of hours. Hope you heard it clearly. Okay, so don't you wish we could do that with Elon Musk? Anyway, thanks for meeting me here for a picnic where we have a full uncut pineapple and no chef's knife or cutting board. How silly. We're just living here in outer space. But if you want to get back to inner space, whatever that is, I'll give you my 3 rules to returning to whatever weird dimension you came from. Number one, apparently we need to start with don't leave the automated Mork and Mindy interdimensional escape pod just sitting around with the engine running where any kid can take it for a joyride. How do they not lose every preteen that gets into a minor fight with their sibling? Dumbasses. Number two, once you've gotten to wherever the foozle went, you can't go home until you recover the foozle. So that should be the only thing you do. Recover the foozle. Don't stop to enroll in a prep school. Get the foozle. Number three, if you should find yourself facing a big oil fire, don't try to put it out with water. Everybody knows that. You don't display a pineapple unless you're a couple looking for another couple to swing with. And you don't try to put out an oil fire with water. I mean, maybe you do need to go to school for a little while, you idiot.
That's a good one, Randy. You had a good opening.
Those are my favorite endings that you've never done. Yeah. That was really good.
What's a tree?
Yeah. With us, finally, Brian, he can change his wardrobe and hair when he jumps out of windows, Ibbit.
And when I walk behind trees, too. Mm. Well, Supergirl, you might have been able to defeat Selina, but now you must face me. Yes, I'm another English person. Midvale, Illinois has a surprising number of English people and an equally surprising amount of coastline. Anyway, you'll see I've trapped you in a glass prison to send you to the Phantom Zone. Look, everyone, I've got the first Supergirl mint in box. Yeah. Shortly, I'm going to send you to the Phantom Zone where you'll spend eternity with a real tool. But first, can I get you an A&W root beer? Psych, you can't have one. No, I'm going to attack you with a Burundi wand. It's a conduit of pure, unadulterated evil. I got it at Pier 1 Imports. And then I turned it into an international house of pancakes. And then I ate pancakes. But back to you. With you out of the way, I'll finally be able to succeed where Selina failed with total domination over... No, not the world. Total domination over this abandoned amusement park. I'm amazed at how much of this stuff still works. Supergirl, you deserve everything that's coming to you for introducing an invasive species to Krypton Annex Phase 2, you jerk.
You're not wrong.
Nicely done.
The Annex Phase 2. Yeah, you watched the original Superman, so you know the whole backstory, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought, okay, here's how I thought the Supergirl origin was. She actually got sent away from Krypton earlier than Kal-El.
Right.
But because she got lost and didn't ask anybody for directions, she took longer time to get to Earth, but she stayed young in her capsule while...
Right.
Kal-El came to Earth and grew up and all that sort of thing.
So this, I just want to get it straight because I was never a DC guy. I paid almost zero attention to DC. I've never seen this movie.
Yeah.
This movie just decides to invent the idea that there are these Krypton-like places where people live in different dimensions, right?
Well, there's a chunk of Krypton that people continued to live on when Krypton blew up. So it's like a Krypton.
Oh, okay, yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah, they went into inner space to avoid
So dreamy. The beginning of this movie. He's like spouting gibberish at her.
It was so 70s.
Like, listen to me, girl, about this weird dimension inner space nonsense. And I don't know. There was something about it that felt like, I don't know, like maybe they gave it to the second unit and were like, she's like, hey, just go make a scene with Peter O'Toole where we don't have him for
pretty
anything
much.
Else.
Yeah, it is so hand wavy, just this whole like, oh yeah, we're on kind of a floating chunk. And it's we've put up some little rotating lights up above.
Yeah.
And it looks like a
I did really appreciate the bright lights on in frame. That were just obscuring all sorts of things you might want to look at.
For sure. That was really, everything about that place was dumb, and you could 3D print it in your sleep and it just looked stupid. And the protective film around it is made of what? Cellophane?
Mylar?
Paper?
Yeah, that was terrible. Like, what an awful set piece.
Why was
thing.
That? Yeah, why was the Golden Snitch trying to get out of there anyway? I didn't understand that whole deal. I was like, I'm out. See you, suckers.
Yeah, that ball wanted out. Did the ball seek out?
I'm assuming so, because otherwise
just the vacuum of space sucked the ball out. Because
the
mosquito cut the hole in there first, and then
it did. But the ball had been waiting, so the Golden Snitch had been waiting for an opportunity to escape, and it wanted to go to Earth because it wanted to find her. Because that's a trope, right? Is that big giant trope of
it wanted to find your cousin Faye?
Yeah, pretty much.
Your cousin Faye Dunaway. Yeah. Who apparently was a giant ass on set and was really hard to work with, and they almost fired her three times. But anyway, it feels like she was.
They were lucky to have her.
Yeah.
I imagine she got pissed every time she was on screen and they didn't have a stripe of brighter light across her eyes than the rest of her face.
What was that about? And I don't mean in this movie only. I mean as a thing that you see sometimes. What is this thinking?
This is a French director. This is a French director in a production that was totally British, pretty much. I mean, it was definitely a particular style. This guy mostly only done TV, I believe, up until this point.
Still does. Like, to this day.
Did a bunch
of modern shows. It's crazy to look at his IMDb, actually.
It reminded me, like, of moonlighting. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Without the Vaseline smeared all over the camera whenever Sybil Shepherd is on screen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say, we have not seen yet, we have not sacked yet, Jeannot Swarck's most important movie, which is Jaws 2.
Mm. Yes.
I was just looking at our watch list and I'm like, oh, we're gonna get to Jaws 2.
I always forget Spielberg didn't do the direct sequel. I always thought he did, and I still think that in my head until someone reminds me that he didn't, that it was somebody else. Yeah. But
he was making English stuff his entire career.
Yeah.
So I mean, yes, French director, but very, very English career of work.
But this later stuff, check this out. He is like staple of serial television, Grey's Anatomy, tons of episodes of that, Designated Survivor, Doubt, Criminal Minds, Bones, Castle, Scandal, Supernatural. Like, that guy
and
is the
show,
all about
the TV. The show he directed different episodes of for years and years was Smallville.
Yeah, 14 episodes.
Oh, more Supermans.
And then he did this, pretty much this is his exclusive career since the 90s, because prior to that it was all movies. Like, he did Santa Claus, the movie. Supergirls, we were talking about today. He did Somewhere in Time. That was a movie my mom wouldn't stop watching.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Christopher Reeve.
Yes. Yep. Christopher Reeve and I don't remember the girl. Was it
it was Karen Allen?
Jane Seymour. Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour, okay.
By the way, Christopher Reeve said no to this movie. He's like, no, I'm good.
Well, thanks. I thought he was supposed to do a cameo and he had to cancel because he was busy with something. So it wasn't like
I bet he was
much like Superman. I'd love to help you out, Supergirl, but I'm busy with something.
Yeah, I'm busy. How did they explain it? The little radio station said Superman has gone to many trillion light years away to stop a thing from happening or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
It was on a peace mission, a mission of peace. Like, you could have said something better.
I agree.
This was after 1 and 2 had already released. They were working on 3. So was he, maybe he was busy collecting the nukes. Is that what he was doing? Maybe.
Yeah. Because that would be a peace mission.
Right? Yeah, it would be. And that would be also a mission toward being the second worst performing Superman movie.
the thing that destroyed this whole franchise.
The current season of Titans explains away, you know, why they go to Metropolis and they're hoping to see Superman there and talk to him. And nope, he's away on a mission. He's off planet. Right. Sorry, can't find him. Can't talk to him.
Because that's the only reason why Superman would not come to the red. Because that's his whole stick, right? He's like, he can hear somebody screaming from help halfway across the world. He's like Santa Claus.
He goes where he's needed. Yeah.
It goes where he's needed. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're at home and you're like, where is this suit? Like, you're just a young Gen Zer. You're like, I didn't even know there was a superhero movie. This is the one from 1984. And that's the one you're searching for. So if you search for, you know, Supergirl on IMDb or whatever, that's the one you're going to want to look for. Because it turns out there's a ton of results for that if you search for it. It's weird.
I'm not a DC guy, so I'm wondering if anybody knows, can answer the question. Why was she not named Superwoman? This is like something that comes up.
She was still Supergirl at this point, right?
There was never a Superwoman. She's always Supergirl, and I think it's because she's just younger. It's kind of like, I don't know, like Aqualad.
How do they decide who's Catwoman and Batgirl is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. Age, right? It's supposed to be targeted demographic age.
You must be this tall. If you're going to ride this Catwoman ride, you got to be this tall. Sorry. I think it's like I could be wrong about this, but some of that era is the same era you get things like Aqualad and these terrible named like young characters because they're aiming for the youth group. You know, they're trying to get the youth to read the comics or whatever. I think Supergirl was like kind of like that.
Supergirls was like kind of like the answer to the small town hero like Spider-Man on Marvel, right? That was kind of
in the
idea is like, oh, we've had a teenage boy over at Marvel. All the teenagers seem to like that. Let's kind of see if we can hit that demographic.
A little bit of that going on, sure.
And first, do you think that this movie's target audience is going to be young girls who want this, you know, role model of Supergirl to look up to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you get to a locker room scene.
It turns into Porky's
and like walking around in their bras and stuff like that. Like,
because that's what girls want.
Yeah. Man on floor.
Exactly. Hide my bra.
Yep.
So we all discussed before this recording that we found the movie to be interminably long.
It's a terrible film. I'll just put it out there now. I'll just say this real quick, Randy, before you say this. I was talking to Hibbett about, or no, maybe you said it in our disc. I don't remember where you said this, but you basically just said this is one of the worst movies we've ever seen. And I went, no, that's can it be crazy. That? I mean, it's really bad. It can't be that bad. It's really bad.
All you have to do for it to not be among the worst movies we've ever seen is cut some of it. And I kept thinking, you could just cut the whole prep school. Like, you could just slice that right out. She kind of needs a fake ID. You know what I mean? Like, she needs to be able to wear civilian clothes every now and then. Like,
sure.
That's going to be a part of the story no matter what.
Your Clark Kent business.
She could just have invented that. She could have
easily,
just, you know.
And I do like how, you know, she does a Kaiser Soze looking around the office to figure out what her name is going to be.
Yeah.
She finds Lee and she pulls Linda out of somewhere. Yeah. Who knows where? Lee, like Linda, I always want to be a Linda. I'm totally going to be a Linda. But what's my last name going to be?
Yeah.
Oh, Lee.
She sees Robert E. Lee. And when she first did that, I went, please tell me she's going to say, I'm Robert Ray Lee.
We actually watched the international version, which is 114 minutes, I believe, because on the IMDb they listed it two and a half hours, which is the director's cut. But we watched a little bit less than that.
So you're saying what you're saying is the theatrical release was shorter, and
right, it was down to like almost an hour and a half, I think.
And so my question is, if it was shorter, was it better? Why are we being served this?
Right. I think it would be better because a lot of the things they cut in the theatrical release was that opening stuff with the inner space, because that's really not necessary, because we barely even follow up on that.
Whole place is the chick in the bucket for me, even though at the end they imply she returns. She didn't see her parents again. That weird dad with his eyes 400 miles apart, that guy, you could see him again.
The screamer.
Oh yeah.
You don't get to see him. So it's like they just that whole place just is such a weird disconnect.
I tell you, it's really Buck Rogers, more 70s sci-fi TV 100% than any of the rest of the film.
For sure. I mean, as far as gross goes, this movie only did, let's see. By the way, those opening credits you love so much, all the zooming and the swishing and everything, $1 million to shoot in 1984.
Two and a half freaking minutes of that.
And does anybody come out of the movie going, well, the movie really sucked, but those opening credits were
amazing.
Awesome.
So good. I mean, Superman did the same thing. All the Superman movies had really long opening credits.
Yeah.
But for some reason, those didn't bother me like these did.
Right. And before Hitchcock made things short in Psycho, we used to have all of our credits front loaded because people would get there slowly. We weren't doing that at this point in 1984. We were getting at the theater early, loading up on popcorn, and 2.5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Lord.
A huge part of this movie, like an enormous amount of screen time, is Faye Dunaway and Rue McClanahan, If You Order a Wish.
I actually love that
watching
part.
They are watching TV. Mm. They're watching like some kind of like drone CCTV. Part of this movie.
Yeah, it's weird.
I was trying to figure out what that was from. Their whole shtick was some kind of comedy that I couldn't quite put
I know
my
what it is.
On.
It's supposed to be Lexi Luthor and what's his name? The sidekick, the funny sidekick. Right. That's what they were aiming for.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
It felt more like I Love Lucy or something, when it felt a little different than that.
Hmm. I felt like they were just trying to create a female version of the Gene Hackman.
Who was so excited to see
This is test marker.
Who was so excited to see Jimmy Olsen when he showed up? I was like, oh, thank God. Well, right. Thank God Jimmy Olsen is here to save this freaking movie.
I felt like, oh my. I didn't get excited. I just went, oh, this is what fan service was in 1984. Like, this was right. them yeah. having a little crossover.
Except once again, the whole thing is like ordered off Wish. The dude, the love interest dude is Tony Danza, if you ordered him off Wish.
Do you know who that is, by the way?
Springfield, if you ordered him off Wish.
Talking about Ethan,
do you know who that is? That's freaking yes. Ellis from Die Hard is who that is.
Yes. Oh. It's Ethan, and he is hilarious. Hans
Booby. It's that guy, which wow. blew my effing mind. I could not Ellis. Get my yeah. head around that. But anyway, that's who that is.
I loved him. He was, and he was, there's like some, if you don't watch this movie for anything else, just watch it for background entertainment. Because like Scott said at the beginning of the show, and it been pointed out, the big panda bear at the softball game. Yeah. In the background, there's so much crazy shit going on in the background. I love when Ethan is doing his he's doing his landscaping business.
Yeah,
they're taking away some trees, and he's got a big oh. jar of stain or paint.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's painting the tree.
It's right after he cuts off. Well,
a limb.
He looks like he's going to be cutting off a big limb, yeah. and then yes. he breaks off a small branch and walks away, and then he starts yeah. like he's painting and or would you, gluing would
you
get, it shut.
Yeah. yeah, basically what you do when you cut a limb off, that is part of the procedure. But they didn't do it right. It was just like him.
Oh, really?
Okay. with a big old cord of stain the tree.
Yeah,
all
you're not supposed to.
Place.
There is
I'm
a
like,
way.
What the hell
you're,
is he doing?
There is a thing you're supposed to seal off a branch cut because then it'll stop right. it from growing, but also not hurt the tree. But he's not. That's not.
But
what he was
doing. Mr. Miyagi back there with the gotcha. Up. Doing the whole tree is weird.
And he's shirtless too. That's pretty hot.
Oh, that was yeah. That's what ladies like.
That's because that's what the girls want.
Yeah.
That's what
they
want.
I didn't know it was him, or it didn't dawn on me that he was who he was until one guy on Twitter said it, and also there was something about when he drank that can of roofie drink.
I'm assuming it was root beer because everything with this was A&W root beer, right?
My gosh, it was A&W sponsored by A&W and Howard right. Jones.
No doubt. Oh my gosh.
The product placement. Like how many times do I need to see the label for the Schlitz malt liquor can?
Right, yeah. right. Yeah, yeah they were really pushing it. So this thing made this is interesting. It made $14 million gross domestic. That made it the least money making of all the Superman series films. Just behind Quest for Peace, which made $15 million. So $1 million yeah. less than its closest competitor, the great Superman IV, The Quest for Peace. The budget for Supergirl was $35 million. So this movie is definitely a flop in any era, I would say.
Well, they believed in it. They must have really believed in this movie at that price. But this was after 2, which had done pretty successful, and before they had released 3. So they didn't realize they were about to have to sell to Canon, right? They were about to have to unload the whole franchise
mm-hmm. right.
somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. And it's fine that I feel like this thing petered out in a way that I'm okay with it because I don't think I wanted any more of this after. Like when I saw I saw this movie in 84, the year we always talk about being such an amazing film year, right? Like, Temple of Doom and freaking Ghostbusters. And
it's
like,
Supergirl.
And no one ever mentioned Supergirl on that list. But I saw it then and didn't think that much of it. I see it now. I felt like I was watching it for the first time. I don't remember any of this bullshit.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Just really bad, man. Like,
I think I might have been watching the Legend of Billie Jean or something like that. Maybe that's what I saw instead.
So that's also right. Helen Slater, right? That is her. Okay. Yeah. To me, they were different women because of the haircuts, but I guess
Of my success, love interest, also Helen Slater. Right,
according to the IMDb rankings, this was the number 3 worst film of 1984.
Ooh. Wow, what was
that?
Right,
what were
it?
One and two?
One is Bolero, starring Bo Derek.
Oh, really?
Never saw it.
Yeah, they basically thought that. Well, you know, she was the big breakout star of 10. Let's give her own thing and kind of partially name the movie after her. And
lame.
Number 2 worst movie in 1984 is Sheena. And if you've never heard of Sheena, I just need you to hear this.
Yeah, we need to see Sheena.
Tanya Roberts. Yeah. Sheena grew up in the African wild, raised by a mystical witch woman. When her foster mother is framed for a murder, Sheena is forced to flee. Helped by her ability to talk to animals and her knowledge of the jungle.
Right. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember Sheena the movie, but I certainly remember Tanya Roberts in Sheena the movie poster.
That's right.
I do remember that
movie poster.
Dude,
number
Tanya.
Seven worst movie according to the ratings, the ranking, you know, via their IMDb score.
Yeah.
Cannonball Run 2.
Oh, that movie's okay.
Really? That was actually kind of fun. Yeah. It was a fun movie.
I guess seventh is probably about where it belongs, though. I don't know.
Yeah, this list also includes Rhinestone, which was, you know, Sylvester Stallone and Dolly Parton.
Oh, wow, that was 84?
Yeah. Yep. It includes Chud. You'll remember fondly.
Oh, yeah. Chud, yes. Yeah, Chud's great. Cannibalistic and, humanoid underground dweller. Yeah.
And well down this list is Firestarter. I love Firestarter. Drew Barrymore.
I go Firestarter. Yeah. I also like that song
For the show at some point.
So check this out. This is just an interesting side note. The guy who plays Jimmy Olsen, his name is Mark McClure.
Mark McClure.
Anyway, he is known for a bunch of things, including playing Dave McFly on Back to the Future. Like, he's had a lot of roles where you're like, oh, he's in Apollo 13 and he's in, you know, Smallville. And anyway, he was in Smallville, so another Superman thing, as a cameo, played a character. And then Justice League and the Zack Snyder remix Justice League have him in both of those things. I don't remember who, Officer Ben Shadowski in Justice League. And then in Zack Snyder's cut, he just played someone named Jerry.
Jerry.
So I don't know what that means, but he's been happy to step into these little cameo deals, you know.
He must be like someone in the studio's cousin, right? Like,
to get to
be around these DC movies and TV shows for 40 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it probably might be because we think so fondly of him. He was such a charming character in a goofy way in the Superman series. So
his goal was to always get into trouble that Superman would have to bail him out of.
Kind of happened here again. Had to have the girl save him this time. Yep.
I just want you to know it was actually one of my biggest complaints about this movie. Was that he was, as a character, was even present. Like, what are the odds if I took you into outer space and I threw you at Earth, what are the odds that you would land anywhere near people who had also interacted with some other, your cousin, somewhere else? Like, it's just.
Well, the odds were better. The odds were better than that ball falling into what's her name's pudding at her picnic, though.
Yeah. There's definitely a bigger hand here at play because, everything is brought together. There is a reason. I couldn't figure out what was guiding. What was the guiding hand here? But you're right.
Yeah,
Randy. It was way too much.
A lot of coincidences across the board.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mia Farrow was there. I mean, that's just weird, right?
That is weird. I got to figure this one out because she's also kind of chicken the bucket. In fact, you know what? We'll just give it to her.
Grab a bucket. We go to a party and we meet some people and then we just leave them. Like the two guys that try to rape Supergirl, you bring a woman to a strange town.
Yeah, one of them, Max Headroom.
Yeah, right. Max Headroom in there.
What was that bracelet doing anyway? Because she was flying along, mind her own business, and the bracelet starts going
for a little Fitbit.
And then she,
it was tracking her.
Then she flies down and she meets Max Headroom and his lackey, and they try to rape her. Even after she displays obvious powers, they know who Superman is.
Yeah,
obviously doing the same stuff.
Yeah, they know. They should have seen. They, you know, first, sure, you can assume cosplay, but the second Matt Frewer gets thrown across the planet or whatever far he got thrown, you would think, oh, okay, well, this other guy, he should leave. Nope, pull out a knife and keep pushing it. Yep, and then get the knife burn or get the knife heat. Boy, she sure liked using heat vision. She loved that one.
Yep. She loved the heat vision, except it also grows flowers.
Yeah, apparently heat vision also does some kind of provides what's the word for when you boost a plant?
Chlorophyll.
Makes sense.
Miracle Grow.
I think I think so. Part of this is it actually kind of made sense because part of this is where they get their powers from is our sun. And so I guess they're processing and storing the yellow sun, and I guess they can choose to either amp it up into a laser or they can use it gently to bloom a flower.
So she's got the ability to dial it way down and do a jump pop without burning it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of all the kids at home who love like Miles Morales and Peter Parker as a construct, this is kind of what that was back in the day.
Yeah.
They were aiming for a thing where it was like, oh, she's kind of like Superman. Although this movie really leans into basically she's exactly like Superman with a couple of things that are different. I got two questions. One, nobody anywhere in the history of Superman lore has been able to just fly through a window and change their clothes and hair color. It doesn't work.
See, I actually
hate it.
Yeah, there was so much of that. Like, cause she, when she gets in the pod, she's wearing like, you know, Krypton Del Boca Vista robes. And then she, like, they cut away while she's flying towards Earth. And then all of a sudden back to her in the pod. Now she's in super.
I thought about this. I actually thought about this way too much because I was like,
can you explain it? All right.
Exactly. Okay. So I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, so what power is this? Obviously, this is one of her powers because she can change. Like willy nilly, and I'm like, is she like projecting that to other people, or is like, is it an active power, or is it something that she can manipulate matter into whatever costume?
If she is, then they're making it up on the fly because none of this existed in the comics. She had to change her clothes just like Clark did, and the thing when she was in the do you remember Wonder Woman? She would spin and turn into Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Same problem. It's like, that's stupid. Nobody did that. That was
this is a passive power that she has to generate costumes on the fly because when she goes to the Phantom Zone, she's still wearing her costume. So obviously not a projection. So because you have no powers there. So that's what I was assuming that this is her little power.
Now the other big hole that I noticed in her is that she weighs too much for anyone to pick her up. That's not correct. It's not though. Yeah. Cause she's the same amount of mass and matter. It's just that
Superman has the same thing though.
Did someone try to, I don't feel like Superman ever had his moment where someone tried to lift him and couldn't because he was too heavy.
They've tried to hit him and he's immovable.
I think that's a feat of strength, by the way. Right. I think like Superman kind of controls his own specific gravity.
Right.
And I think Supergirl does too. I think she's using her power to thrust herself downward in that.
It's not that she's heavy. She's flying downwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not a smile. It's not a frown. It's a smile. We're just seeing it in a different light, you know, but that kind of stuff drove me crazy anyway.
You know, the changing clothes thing, especially when you see it when she's going behind several trees on her way to the softball game.
I enjoyed
the giant panda softball game. It was great because I had to call Tina back in to watch that. She left the room and I was like, no, watch all the shading on the trees. Like they really did use the same shot, but they paused. She changed really quick.
Yep.
Yeah.
The sun moved a little bit in the sky. Then they shot again.
It was bad.
I still thought it was pretty good.
For 84, maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe.
Pretty good.
I mean, pretty good in terms of like, how do we show this transition? Sure. It had an 84 good kind of goodness to it, I suppose.
Yeah.
But the concept to begin with is stupid.
Yeah. And why did she need so many interim changes? Like
she was actually doing layered changes. They showed her she was doing each outfit in different ways to wear. Like I said, this is what a French man thinks women want.
Yeah,
right. And,
I actually want to stop and say I was kind of impressed that this movie didn't go farther into pinkifying the Supergirl character. She smashes rocks. She does all kinds of she stopped and looked at a flower, which Superman would never do.
Right. She petted a bunny.
Yeah. But
love
she flew over the horses. That was my favorite.
Yeah. The movie could have gone so much farther into just, you know, like she's such a girl. Look at all these girl things that she does with her powers. Mm-hmm. And Supergirl, meanwhile, is over here like making hot water pipes burst in people's faces, which is such a boy prank, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big time boy prank. But, you know, like it's not that this thing is bereft of inequalities at all. Like there's moments where I think she's good at being the Clark Kent version of herself. Mm-hmm. And she's supposed to be naive or whatever.
She's better at it. She's actually better at it because Superman Clark Kent is the only degrees of separation is the glasses, right?
Yeah.
And her, she's got like a wholly different hair color. It would fool me.
It is a different look. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. She was blonde and now she's a brunette.
I agree. Yeah, that conceit with Superman that you always just had to swallow your pride with, which was, you know, if he's going to wear glasses, somehow people are oblivious to who it is. And that was always stupid. So they just leaned into it and said, whatever. But in her case, they, you know, making her have dark hair.
If my significant other came home with an entire, like, okay, like she's got dark brown hair in as one character, and then she's got like this serious bleach blonde hair with the other. I'm not gonna lie. If my wife walked in with this exact opposite hair color, I'm like, hey, who are you? Oh, yeah. Hey, baby.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
I'll tell you something funny that happened. This is an maybe more of an Ibbot thing because he's in the middle of watching it, and I've been watching a little bit too. But the minion lady that works with Faye Dunaway, the comic relief lady.
Brenda Vaccaro.
Yeah, my first thought was, my brain immediately said, "Oh, I bet she was on Love Boat. She seems like a Love Boat lady."
Oh, she had to be. Yeah.
And so I immediately paused the movie because it drove me nuts. I'm like, I need to know. I paused it. I go look at her IMDb. The same year, 1984, she's a guest on the Love Boat. Of course,
absolutely. She was a. Yeah,
she just had that look
to continue with Love Boat with the crap that I had saw in season three. It's just sitting there in my would you like you keep saying, would you like to watch the next episode? I'm like, no, I wouldn't.
Really?
I've got other things I'm gonna watch.
Yeah,
I feel like she's also an example of how have we not seen all these people in previous FilmSack movies. This is the first time we've ever seen Helen Slater, Peter O'Toole, Mia Farrow, Brenda Vaccaro, and Peter Cook, marriage.
Yeah.
It's the first time right. for every one of those.
Oh, he's the marriage guy. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't figure out why he looks so familiar. I didn't bother looking, obviously, but that's
Peter Cook,
amazing.
By the way, is when you order Peter O'Toole off Wish.
No, you're not wrong. Peter O'Toole, I could have sworn we'd seen him, but I'm surprised to hear you say Mia Farrow. For some reason, I thought we'd seen her, but also you barely see her in this. She comes up in the beginning with the, you know, the mom business, and then she's out of there. And that makes
Simon
me
Ward.
Think that makes me think she's just like, you know, doing a deal for a friend or something. Like,
yeah.
Why
yeah,
else?
We may never see Peter Mia Farrow in a FilmSack movie again. Like looking at her at her career, she just doesn't often appear in movies that are like non-serious.
The Omen was like probably the only other thing we've ever seen her in, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, was she in the Omen?
Oh, we haven't seen the Omen. That's right. Oh. We watched part two.
We saw Omen 2?
Did
we saw the original Omen, no?
I don't remember anything.
I could have swore we, look at me, Damien, I'm doing this for you.
Ah! Yeah. Yeah, with the priest getting stabbed by the thing that came off the roof, the lightning rod.
Right.
That's all right. Omen. Okay.
We saw the Omen.
Bombats, I need you to look at the stats for Supergirl.
Yeah.
And explain why Mia Farrow is only in one movie.
How dare you have this free service and not have it work 100%? Do it.
I'm scared now that I'm missing like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
If that's the thing.
Maybe she wasn't listed or something. Maybe she's uncredited.
Could be. Yeah.
Maybe.
This Maureen Teefee girl who played Lois Lane's sister or whatever. Or I swear she at one point said cousin and then another point said sister. And that was throwing me off.
No, she said sister. I think she was just talking about the coincidence of her being cousins.
A little too coincidental is all I'm getting at here.
Fame and you might have seen her before in a couple of things, but I think Maureen Teefee was a lot of fun and interesting.
She was in Grease 2, the fantastic sequel to Grease. Yeah.
She was also in Max Headroom, oddly enough.
Oh my lord.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Her and Frewer kicked it off.
You gotta love how she tells the dean that she was expecting that she was gonna have a single room all year long, yet she's taped off half the room and said everything on this side of it is mine.
Yeah. I think I know where I've seen her.
This invisible roommate.
I know where I've seen her before. I knew she looked really familiar. She was in ABC After School Specials as well as CBS Afternoon Playhouse. I think.
Really?
That's probably like where I recognize her. No, like in an episode or two.
What I mean
but
is both
I watched
of them?
A lot of those.
She did
she did both
the CBS and the ABC after.
Yeah, she did both series.
Ooh, she was.
She was a TV mainstay.
Oh, I thought it said Dinky Hooker, but After School Special was
Dinky Hooker. Look at that Dinky Hooker.
Look at that tiny little hooker.
But CBS Afternoon Playhouse, she was Portrait of a Teenage Shoplifter.
That's what you get.
I think that's the one I probably
saw. That's
what
you get.
That was
the principal guy that ran the school, David Healy, who died in 1995, about 10 years after this thing. What was I going to say about him? Now I forgot. Shit. I had a thing to say about that guy. He was a...
I also
forgot what I was going to say about him. Sorry. Continue as if I never brought him up.
He was... he always has these bit roles. If you look at his career, like we saw him in Labyrinth and in Phase 4, and he just gets bit roles.
Yeah. He's a real trope as well. In fact, he's trope.
Oh my gosh. So it's the whole movie, and the trope is, would you just let the girls do all the movie?
Because
men in this movie are either really dumb, like the main love interest, really dumb, or they're rapists in the street. Like that's it. That's all you get.
Yeah. It's only two levels, right?
Yeah. Now here's the weird bit. Okay. Oh, this is what I was going to say. The principal's name, last name in this was Danvers. Okay.
Yeah. Danvers. Principal Danvers.
Nothing to do with Carol Danvers in the Marvel side.
Right.
But over here it says, according to this piece of trivia, film debut of Helen Slater. Many years later, Slater would appear in 3 episodes of Smallville, playing Lara, the Kryptonian mother of Kal-El and Clark Kent, and then a recurring role on Supergirl from 2015 as Supergirl's adoptive mother, Eliza Danvers.
Yeah.
So, okay. Is Supergirl's a Danvers then?
Yes, she's Kara Danvers on, not Carol Danvers, but Kara Danvers.
That's weird, man.
Supergirl TV show.
So that and makes me wonder. That makes me wonder if there's any connection there, because you know Marvel and DC will do this with each other. They'll kind of dupe somebody, and then have things that are very close to names and stuff. I wonder if that's
Right. She went by Linda Lee Danvers, Kara Kent, Linda Lang, and Kara Danvers.
Ah, Linda Lang.
Linda Lang. Because you know you got to have everybody has to have a double L name.
I feel like you just read some porn movies cast list.
And I guess you can only have a friend whose last name is Lane.
Yeah.
Yes. It's right.
It's just so.
No, it's Lane.
I don't know. There's just something about it. It just feels like, why do they want all these people to all, like, they're only 14 people on the whole planet Earth in these stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't understand.
I mean, look, how do I put this? You know what I would like? I would like it if I don't know, maybe the TV show complicates this because that was just on and now we're done with it and now it feels like we need a break. But I wouldn't mind seeing what James Gunn would do with a Supergirl spinoff.
We're going to have these two different filmmakers. Oh, wait, we'll add a Taika Waititi. We're going to have 3 different filmmakers and they do everything. Like if it's comic book related, you are required to make it.
Gunn. Hire Taika Waititi, James Gunn, and then who's our other go-to?
What's his name? Who made Elf?
John Favreau.
Favreau. Yeah, I knew it was I couldn't think of it.
You could do Favreau. You could probably get the Russo brothers back in after their run. They did, you know, like 4 of them. So
like James Gunn has to make everything.
I think it's great. His DC thing, I'm stoked about his DC. I think DC's in for a surprise here unless they're just the worst at the top level and they just bang against that and maybe it'll all burn down. I don't know. I have no idea.
Right.
Can you believe we're still living in the same year of the premiere of Peacemaker?
Yeah. Mm. 2022, baby.
It's been a long year, man. Yeah. Wow.
Or short. It feels short to me, but a lot of things happen in this year. That show should probably be on people's top 5 end of year TV show lists, right? Like that was a really
good hope show. I really hope so. Because there's some actors in Peacemaker who deserve accolades. Like the Emmys came and went, and I realize it's not intended to win Emmys, but there's just like, there's an actor named Danielle Brooks in Peacemaker, and she's just amazing in everything she's in.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with her. By the way, I think they killed an animal. You know how the movies always say, we don't kill animals. I think they killed that spider. They flicked it real hard.
Oh, yeah.
They flicked it real hard.
Yeah, I think he died. Who flicked it? It was
Peter Cook.
Peter Cook, just flicked open the
walnut. Cracked open the walnut that was boiled.
Yeah.
And the spider's still alive, which I'm not sure how that happens.
But. Okay, well, the entire... Magic. So you just reminded me, and this is my whole problem with the movie, I think. Maybe my major problem. All of the villainy is coming from just like voodoo magic. I hate that.
But I like that because super. Okay, so you got a couple of choices of how to beat a super crypto. You got to use magic because that's one thing that they're susceptible to. If you're not going to use kryptonite, you got to use magic. So this answered the question for me. It's like, what would they have done if they ever brought magic into Superman? This, don't do it.
Well, the magic, Oh, that scene where they were stretching her, the creature was stretching
that
her.
That was, yeah.
What a bunch of shit that was. That was so bad.
I kind of.
No, of course you liked it because.
I didn't even defend that. Come on.
I kind of liked it because it kind of fit in with the Phantom Zone stretching they do. So the effect, it kind of all fits in.
Can I just stop you there? I'm sorry.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I know there's a history here. But every time I hear the phrase the Phantom Zone, I just figure it's a 1980s pizza slash video arcade.
Yeah.
It's Friday night. We're going to go to the Phantom Zone and play Galaga.
They can't stop talking about it, apparently. The Kryptonians, they can't stop talking about the Phantom Zone. Nobody, you don't want to go there.
I didn't realize. So this movie is weird in the sense that the Phantom Zone to me was just people up next to a chunk of glass with their face pressed to it, yelling.
Right. Spinning around through space waiting for an atomic bomb to shatter it.
Yeah. Yeah, but in this one, there's like dirt and land and water and mud and caves and stuff.
I think that's how you get shipped to there. And I think that's what they said. I think they were on their way there when Zod and all those guys were hanging out in space floating around. I think they were heading to the Phantom Zone. And then they got knocked off course, and then they got blown up.
Well,
I think
that took them a
like
long effing time then.
I mean, you're going to be there forever. It doesn't matter how long it takes you to get to the Phantom Zone. It was kind of like you know, the prison bus scenes where, you know, something happens, they escape.
But it's years and years and years, because, right, you know, Superman's dad is doing his old trial thing, and are you criminals or, you know, sentenced, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then we get a whole movie where they're floating in space on their way to the Phantom Zone, and it's not until Superman 2.
It's the whole time doing this.
Yeah, and Superman's like 35 years old at that point. He's an adult.
No, it's two-dimensional. It's a pane of glass, right?
Right. It's just a flat.
Well, I thought we're trying to decide if the Phantom Zone is that, or if the Phantom Zone is where Kara was in this movie, and that pane of glass is just the transport system.
Right.
She still has her powers while she's in the Phantom Zone, too.
No, she kept biffing it.
She does. She falls in black slime and comes out perfectly clean.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. Yeah, but she couldn't fly.
Well, if you mean movie magic, yes.
Yeah, but she couldn't fly,
though.
The
Phantom
Zone
has paper towels.
They got bounty on every corner, but she couldn't do her main powers in there, which is, I think the idea was like, you become neutered here and you're just stuck here. And I kind of like that idea, but I don't think they explained it very well. Like,
then they had like forever to do it.
Yeah. But if you're saying that that's the transportation thing, and it took 35 years for one of those to take Zod and his pals to the Phantom Zone. But in her case, she was there in about 5.5 minutes.
Well, she was already at Earth, so it's fine, you know. The Phantom Zone's close to Earth. I don't know.
Is that the deal? I don't know. I can't be apologist for this stuff because it's just so freaking not thoughtful about the material. Yeah. They just are like, I don't know. Hey, it's a place that's all dirty.
Maybe she flies in a pane of glass. I don't know.
It's like we only have O'Toole for like a hot 5 seconds, so... You know, get in there your scenes done.
According to the Wikipedia page on the Phantom Zone is that pane of glass. So I don't know.
Okay. The Wikipedia says. Oh, well, absolutely. Yeah, who was it written by? An expert?
Everyone always says this about Wikipedia when they don't like the answers that are on there, but it's the most, it is the most accurate resource on the internet. There's nothing
sourced. It's one of the best sources because it can be checked by experts. So, you know, you could have the possibility of it being corrected.
Right.
If it
I hate
wrong.
When people crutch it though and go, I'm not saying this about you.
But when it comes to something like this, you know, it's just like, who is the expert? The writers of these comics, are they going to Wikipedia and correcting anybody?
Probably. You probably go through old comics
as someone sort of in the entertainment industry. Yes.
Well, it's according.
Oh my gosh, are they all paying really close attention to Wikipedia?
They don't want it to be wrong, man. They got to go in there and usually when you get an error on that place, somebody tries to hack somebody's page and say he eats babies in the morning or whatever. It's fixed. it's fixed in like 30 seconds or something.
Yeah.
I'm just, this is what I'm always trying to do. I think Wikipedia is a great resource. I am always afraid that it would become dependent and believable, you know, believe in Wikipedia 100%. And then one day the rug we pulled out. So we always need to be questioning.
Yeah. Always question.
Wikipedia is a really great source for doing that because it has systems in place to question and to correct.
Right. It's almost like it's
never
existence.
Get comfortable with Wikipedia is what I'm saying.
Its very existence is to correct, to be self-correcting. Yes. So if that continues, but you're not wrong, dude.
As long as nobody finds a way to exploit it, we should be fine. But I'm always be apprehensive about it, in my
opinion. Did any of Nick's teachers, you know, tell him that when he does a report, a project, that he's not allowed to use Wikipedia as a source?
I've heard parents say that before. Certain teachers will do
that. Well, I think teachers, yeah. It's not that they don't want them to use it because it's not accurate. I think they don't want them to use it because it's cheating, right? Or they're not really doing real hard work. All they're doing is just a couple of searches and bam, they got their answer.
Right.
I thought that was why, but maybe.
But that's what we do anyway. That's what you do in real life. That's how we actually function as human beings.
I feel like that's also changed.
Do I have to use an encyclopedia? I'm doing the same thing. I'm finding that article.
Yeah, but you're grabbing a book and you're flipping pages and you're like, oh shit, it's on page 300 and you're like trying to find, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm saying they're wrong. Like, ultimately those teachers were wrong, but I think there was an era, a transitional era there in the aughts where, and I saw this with a couple of my kids, where this still felt like, oh, no, you can't use a calculator in class. That's how it felt. Yeah.
Will, too easy. What do you think? You're going to be walking around with a calculator in your pocket your entire life? Oh, come on.
Yeah. What are you going to do when you don't have a calculator with you?
Yeah. Right. And now we have a device that is only one of its 400,000 functions as a calculator, and we carry it around in our pocket. So, yeah.
Ridiculous.
I think that's part of it. But, I think as far as like historical stuff, there's a lot of attention on there for that. But also I think movies and stuff, I think people are like, I want this to be accurate, or I'm a huge fan of this comic and I do a lot of edits on here. And so I'm going to tell you that this is right.
I always get worried though, when it seems like it's more and more often that I go to Wikipedia and I have to scroll down. It's below the fold, as we used to call it in newspaper. The content is below the fold because the half top of the fold is nothing but, please save us. Wikipedia is in big trouble. If you don't send money now, we'll have to do something else. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Just imagine, oh, Jesus.
I sometimes wonder what could their hosting costs possibly be? Like, just how expensive is it? Because
hosting probably not so much. The bandwidth probably is.
Yeah, I wonder, actually. I mean, how many articles are there?
Well, and there's a lot of mixed media on there.
A lot of photos, a lot of audio. Yeah, it's got to be huge, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
I got a trope for you.
Oh, give me.
Oh, please.
Please do.
The movie poster is always a lie. Every time. Look at this. That is a trope. This one is particularly tropey.
Oh, yeah. She's never even in New York. She's never in there. It was Chicago behind her in the one scene with the city.
It was weird.
Yeah. Yep, the whole movie takes place in Illinois. For some reason it's a metropolis on the picture.
New York in the picture. It's not even a metropolis. It's the Twin Towers in the background. There's the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
That's effed up. I don't get it. I'm annoyed by that.
It was really weird. It's almost like it was made in another country by people who don't necessarily
know the
highlights of the United States.
And once again, it's got Mia Farrow right in there, and you're like, she has 30 seconds of screen time.
Right. Yeah. Well, she was a big name at the time.
She was a big draw.
Yeah. I mean, but Ellis got higher billing than her. That's pretty funny, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. You go Faye Dunaway, Peter O'Toole, Ellis, and then Mia Farrow.
Ellis.
Simon Ward, we talked about him a little bit. Simon Ward is the dad. You don't see him very long either, but he plays Zor-El. Look at his IMDb photo. I'm not kidding about his eyes. I'm not saying that maybe something's wrong or something's weird, but that dude's eyes are so weird.
But you are right. I mean, they're
interesting.
That has went beyond a certain point. I mean, but that's not the only character or actor or human being with eyes.
No. I feel like if you put him in a room with Anya Taylor-Joy, people would be like, oh, yeah, these two came from the same stock or something. But there's just something about those eyes. He looks like a bug man. He's going to suddenly, big weird legs bug are going to pop out of him. Yeah. You know, he's going to
Has the widest set eyes of anyone in Hollywood? Would you say this guy?
Taylor Joy.
I'm giving it Simon Ward possible. I need to see side by sides, but Simon Ward might be the biggest. And then I'd put Anya Taylor Joy in there. She makes it look good, though.
Mm-hmm.
So not Hugo Weaving. No.
Oh,
he's pretty good. Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to look at it. Hugo Weaving.
We need to get some accurate measurements.
Oh, yeah. They're not as bulgy, but they're definitely out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's he doing these days? Hold on a second.
Trying to hold his eyes together.
No, he's in all kinds of stuff. He made like four movies last year, one this year, three the year before. He's busy. He's fine. He's doing good.
I'm just looking through pages and pages of pictures of actors, and it's like they start to all look like their eyes are far apart. Especially yep. Benedict Cumberbatch. He looks like his eyes are on the sides of his head.
This idea that Hollywood's made up of lizard people, I think, is incorrect. It's made up of insects.
Is that where it comes from?
Yeah, insectoids is where they all
I present Cody Smit McPhee from...
good call.
Yeah, that horrible big lung URL. Jeez Louise.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, man.
Smit McPhee, there he is. Oh, it's with a K.
Oh, is this a whole thread on people with wide set eyes?
Yes. I'm looking at, like, people have like measured from afar and they're like, yeah. Amanda Seyfried has very, very wide set
eyes. It's just stuff you do in your
They include Sid from Ice Age in this.
Hilarious. It's what you do when you could do a character creator in a new MMO or something. You put their eyes way out on the sides. Like Skyrim, you know?
Who's the opposite of this? Who's got the closest set eyes?
Tom Cruise?
Top Cruise.
Pretty close together.
Who's the closest set eyes?
Oh. Yeah, what's her face from The Truman Show? Linda.
Laura Linney.
What's her name?
Laura Linney.
Yeah, Laura Linney. Laura Linney. She's basically a DC character, isn't she?
Laura Linney.
That is a movie where we just cast people with really wide set and really close set. They have to be on different sides of the story, right?
I forgot he was the new Nightcrawler, the Cody Smit McPhee kid. I forgot about that.
Oh, I forgot that too. Yeah.
In the movies that aren't good, but
yeah.
I then said Christina Applegate's eyes are really close together on Film Sack for the first time. I don't know why I said that, but it came out of my mouth.
They're there. They're out there. They're off to the side.
Harry Melling.
They can see shit we can't see is the point. Yeah. So people at home going, oh, why are you making fun of people's eyes? We're not making fun of them. I you know, they're just interesting.
It's just these are.
we're not making fun. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think we were making fun.
It's really, really remarkable the diversity of human shapes and sizes, given that we're all the same species. Yeah. It's just like if I said to you, here's some birds and they all look identical, you'd be, those are all the same species. But if they were every different color and size and shape, and like some had long feathers and some had short feathers, you would not believe me that they were the same species.
No, humans are.
But it's lots of times an advantage for an actor to have such a unique feature, right? That's going to get you the job.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's not always just handsome or beautiful. It's sometimes just
unique looking,
weird. Like Steve Buscemi. Does he even have the career he has? Without, I mean, he's a fine actor. Don't get me wrong. He is. Yeah. He's great. But his look and his features, I think, feature into it.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's how you get. It's how you get your foot in the door, or
that's
in this
right.
case, your face.
Yeah, and then people love you.
Let me in.
Then people recognize you so instantly. It's just so easy to go, that's Steve Buscemi. It can't be anyone else. Who else could it be? No, it's nobody but Steve Buscemi.
Nobody but Steve Buscemi.
nobody but Steve Buscemi.
Check this out.
I have the.
Go ahead.
As you say, I have the What Grossed Out Scott the Most
thing, let's get to
which
it.
I think is probably the easiest one we've ever had on the show.
Gross.
All right, what do we got?
Sticking your fingers in the coconut milk and then just jamming them into an unconscious Ellis's mouth.
You are extremely close, but something beat it out.
Something beat that. Wow.
You're right up there, though, dude. Like, you're not.
Was it Kara kissing herself in the mirror? Gross.
No.
Some dorm room.
Let's see if I can find it.
Oh, you have audio of it.
This is an audio gross, which I always look for.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So this is, so when Matt Frewer is making advances with the other thug guy.
Yeah. when Max Headroom and Min Headroom are.
Min Max Headrooms. Anyway, when he's creeping over there, he's chewing gum and it sounded like this and it drove me crazy. So enjoy. It gets worse. That's him chewing gum, dude.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. It did annoy me. I did think about the Foley work. God, he is going to town.
Really
like
bugged
gum,
me.
Man.
Didn't like it.
There's a related trope here, which is our Tony Danza off wish guy. He has to be portrayed as a hayseed. So he's got a freaking toothpick in his mouth for several minutes. Not just like he was picking his teeth and it stuck around. He's like using a toothpick like you would use like a cigarette. He's got it.
Oh, yeah. And he puts it in his hair before he drinks, which is what I do. I do that all the time. I think it's a bad habit. I think it's why I dropped a toothpick in some of Kim's cooking that one time.
So people who see you.
Oh, that's right. It was a toothpick.
Yeah. Well, I did the peanut the one time, toothpick another time, and then the recently was something. I don't remember what it was. I don't remember what it was.
I thought recently it was another peanut.
It might have been another peanut.
This time intentionally as a joke, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. But yeah, people that put toothpicks in above your ear when you're suddenly needing to not have the toothpick in your mouth, I do it all the time. And then I forget it's there. And then sometimes it'll fall out and end up in the carpet. And then Kim will kick it with her foot and want to divorce me and things like that.
Right. And I'm saying that this is like a visual clue to people who see you out in public.
Yeah.
That you're a hick.
Yeah. 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 You're Ellis and you're going to give information to them. Let's see here. I also wrote down that I really liked the football themed bumper cars. I thought those were cool.
Oh yeah. With like pro teams on the front and what looked like college teams on the back.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. And like the Rams.
That wasn't college teams in the back. What are you talking about? They were all pro teams.
Were they?
1984.
Oh, yes, I thought there were some.
I thought
I'm
with Ibbitt.
I'm with Ibbitt.
Logos I didn't recognize.
No, I'm with Ibbitt. I'm with Ibbitt. I thought I saw college stuff.
Oh no. These were all NFL symbols from the time. I liked it.
Yeah, that was really cool. I thought those were neat.
I love how you can just pick a guy up from one of those bumper cars and fly straight up and not kill him going through the ceiling.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they waved a few things like that away.
You know what guys like? They like to ride around and football carts. That's what ladies think guys like.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. I just realized he was offered a canned beverage in this that was trouble, and he was also offered a Coke canned beverage in Die Hard. That was also trouble. He got shot right after he started drinking that Coke.
Schlitz malt liquor in this one.
I'm in the mood. I mean, it is Christmas and everyone has this dumb Christmas argument about Die Hard, but I think I'm in the mood. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Somebody sent me a link to download the a 3D printable Advent calendar.
Oh, Advent. What? Yeah, is the whole thing Nakatomi Plaza? Like
the Nakatomi building? Plaza Advent calendar thing.
Yeah. Print me one.
Oh, that's so cool, dude.
It was going to be so sick of me asking for prints. Print me something, Ibbitt.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one will take a while. I mean, it's like you've got a little Hans Gruber shape that you print, and then you print on a color printer the thing and glue stick it to that, and
that's great, dude. I actually really love that. Real quick, the someone just died from that cast that we all love.
It was the black guy, Theo, right?
Was the character?
Oh, was it him? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought there was somebody else that just died who was on Lost and Justified.
Oh.
I thought he was on Die Hard as well, but I guess it's a different actor.
Well, let me see if I can find him. The guy who played Theo. No, that's AJ Powell.
The quarterback is toast. That guy.
That guy. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's him. Oh, yeah. Clarence Gilliard Jr. He just passed.
Aw.
Speaking of, it's December 3rd. Has anybody watched a Christmas movie yet this year?
Oh my God! I've watched so many, including that Guardians of the Galaxy thing. We've done nothing but
watch. Yeah, I guess if you count that. That is the only Christmas thing I've watched, but I wouldn't call that a movie. That's a special.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, it is a special. You're right. Now, I have watched many movies that we've watched. We've watched Elf. We've watched one of the Santa Claus movies. We've watched,
already? Already?
Oh, yeah, already, man.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
There's so many to watch. We got to get through them.
That's a good point.
I know Scott watched Spirited. I haven't watched that one yet. I haven't seen that yet.
Really enjoyed it. I highly recommend
it. I'm saving it for Christmas week, along with most things.
It's quite good. Yeah. I think you guys will like it.
That's great. Ryan Reynolds is becoming a Christmas thing. Like we always watch Just Friends. Is that the movie?
Oh, Kim loves that movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
She loves that. I don't think I like it, but she loves it.
I don't think I like it.
It's fine. I like Ryan Reynolds kind of in general, but that one's a little too rom-com-y.
Oh, that's the fat suit. Amy Smart and Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. He's in a fat suit.
I do like Amy Smart.
He ends up accidentally going home for Christmas.
Yeah.
With what's her name?
he looks like Larry Bud Melman in that movie. It's like a weird looking fat suit guy.
Yeah.
My wife loves that movie. She also really likes the Sandra Bullock one, the Betty White's in it. I can't think of the name of it. Coach is in it. Anyway, whatever that one's called. The one where they're naked in the room and they're like accidentally running into each other.
Oh, we watched Four Christmases too. We always love to do that one.
Which one's that? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Don't know that.
So you have to go to four family Christmases because of
the
divorce, split, and remarried family.
You got to, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is that?
I'm still
so- you got a buff Favre.
That's actually
in there.
That is actually pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah. A buff Favre.
So, I'm so disappointed when a new Christmas movie comes along.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, it should be awesome, and it isn't. And my current example is from 2 years ago. Dan Levy made a fifth of a movie called Happiest Season with Aubrey Plaza and Kristen Stewart.
Oh, we did not like that movie. We tried.
The Dan Levy 20% of the movie is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And the other 80% of the movie is, I'm not going to ever watch it.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do want to see this Violent Night pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's reviewing
David
well.
Harbor. Yeah.
Yeah. I read an article interview, Tommy, whatever his name is, the director. He said, our number one goal was to not shot. We wanted to lean into the Christmasness of it. So everybody can make a movie where it's like, Superman. It says like Santa, but he's pissed they just play with one or two tropes. And they're like, no, we're going to go like hard into this is a Christmas movie with a bunch of really subversive and violent things. But it's still at the core of it. This is really Santa Claus. This is really a Christmas movie. And I think that works for it, at least from what I've heard. So I can't wait to see this.
By virtue of him doing a live stream for us yesterday, I have now listened to David Harbour talk about this movie for like 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe that in all that time, no one has ever mentioned the movie Bad Santa, because it really does feel like it comes from that kind of thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. That movie's great. That's one I want to watch this year if I can get a minute.
Oh, but you need to go, like I said, Four Christmases, you need to check out, because nothing else for the buff Favreau.
Yeah.
The director.
Yeah. John Favreau, he's all buff in it?
No.
He's all buff.
Okay.
Four Christmases? What are you telling me? No.
I thought the buff person in that movie is Vince Vaughn.
No, but he is just big, but he's small.
He's big, but he's brother, small. Yeah. He's not big. Yeah. He's so small. No.
He's big, but he's not muscular. John Favreau is his brother, who is an MMA wrestler, along with his other brother.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's let that go. That's no longer part of his physique. I'm just going to say there. I saw him the other day, and
He's back to Happy Hogan.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Happy Hogan from here on out. It's too hard to maintain.
Yeah.
I feel his pain, truly. The other thing I wanted to mention was, I already mentioned it. The thing I was going to say. That's all I got. Anybody else have anything you want to say about the horrible film known as Supergirl that does not hold up?
I don't want to crap on it too much. It was a perfectly watchable thing if you get your mindset in the right place.
Sure. From a film sack perspective, this is where I would say Ibbot was 100% correct. One of the worst movies we've seen, but one of the best film sack movies we've seen. Yeah. And it's not that all our movies have some bar to reach of like, it needs to be this shitty. It's just perfect for discussion, and why would they do this way?
It lends itself to a lot of great conversation.
Yeah, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm going, oh my gosh, this is like back to Kroll or back to, you know, one of these old movies that we always think of as classic film sack movies, and that's how this one felt to me. But I hope people enjoyed it, because you're probably never going to see it again.
I will definitely never see it again. There was just an earnestness to how it's constructed that I don't want to...
First time you'd seen it?
Oh, for sure. I knew nothing about this movie.
In my case, I'd seen it, but like I said earlier, I just don't remember anything from it. I just remember her having power, and she was Supergirl. That's it. I remember thinking she was kind of cute at the time. You know, I was 14 or whatever in 84. And I was like, let's go see that. That's got a pretty girl in it. And then that's all I remember. No other memory.
That's what Scott wants.
There you have it. All right, let's do some clips then, and cool. We'll start with this one here, which is didn't you learn anything at school? Says Peter O'Toole.
Silly question. Did you not study six-dimensional geometry at school? Do they not teach you anything anymore?
He is ruined for me, because in my head, when I just hear his voice, I hear the food reviewer on Ratatouille, which he played before he died. It's an amazing character, but he sounds just like him and everything. So.
And what, Oscar winner for My Favorite Year, I think? I think that was
the movie. Yep. Yeah. Isn't he, I think he won for something else.
Hold on, I'm pulling it up because, yes, that
Lawrence of Arabia, maybe?
Lawrence of Arabia, yes.
That's right. Oh, and he was in that 04 Troy movie, which I never saw. We should do Troy.
Troy. Oh, yeah, oh, actually, I love that one.
That's he was nominated 8 times for Best Actor and never won.
Oh,
never
won. That's a shame.
And they had to give him an honorary Oscar to make it so that he had an Oscar.
I've got a picture of him in King Lear stage production that is just hubba macubba. Look at this guy right here. I mean, in his day with those piercing blue eyes. Look at
Look at that. Wow.
He's cool.
Look at that. Wow.
Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. Wow.
By the end, he looked like a wet piece of food I found in the back of the closet. But whatever. We all get old. It's fine.
Sure.
You know, stuff sags and moves and does things you don't like. So it's fine.
Peter O'Toole won a bunch of Golden Globes. Did you know that?
No. Hmm. Won some globs. I like the globs.
Yeah. He back in 1963, the Golden Globes had an award called Most Promising Newcomer. And he won that.
Wow. Surprises me that the Golden Globes have been around that long. For whatever reason, I thought they were a much more recent thing. But
He was in, you know, the one thing I really liked him in. So I loved the Tudors, the Showtime show back in the aughts. In 08, I forgot he played Pope Paul III. He was so freaking creepy cool in that. Mm. Perfect Pope. PP is what we call him. The perfect Pope.
Perfect Pope.
Yeah,
you have a clip of our other Peter Cook.
I guess so many, well, not many, but a few.
All right,
I have some of them. In fact, let's get to them. Here's a silly question.
Silly question.
All right, there's that. It's just part of that. Venus, what? All right. Anyway, here's this.
Venus, when?
Tomorrow or the next day, at the latest.
Well, they're just winging it up there.
Right, they're just making up dialogue as they go.
Yeah, just winging it. It's like, Venus.
The day after that.
The My Pumpkin guy.
The only way you can rule the world is to become invisible, My Pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. But really, it's Peter Cook.
A little with foreshadowing for her using the invisible monster, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Which I thought was kind of cool, the invisible monster.
But not the one that stretched him. You're not talking about the stretching.
No, that we can see that one. No, I'm talking about the one she went into the sky electricity. And grabbed electricity.
Oh,
and
okay. Yeah, that was all right. The one that stretched her was stupid and can burn in a fire. I hated that. We heard this at the top of the show, but I like it.
What's going on? Hey, what's going on?
That's not edited. That's
Hey,
what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I say, what's going on? He's basically Foghorn Leghorn.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, I play it. Now I'm going to play a clip that if it had a laugh track, you'd swear this was cut from The Love Boat. So here it is.
I figured the only way that we're going to pay our bills next month in this dump is to just go ahead and do what I said, which is to start our own coven.
Dude, she's so love boat.
Coven. Yeah. Coven. Like, coven.
Everything about her strikes me as a 70s guest star.
That hair. Yeah.
I mean,
She does nothing for this movie.
Like a clip from Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, it could be. You put a soundtrack on there, it'd be hard to guess. Here's some creepers who be creeping.
You're Superman's best friend, huh?
No. His cousin. I've come here to search for the Omega Hedron. It's a power source vital to Argo City. You see, that's where I live.
No kidding. Eddie and me, we're on a secret mission also.
You guys got a cool voice.
Yeah, we're on a secret mission also.
I'm almost Rizzo from MASH.
We got Max Headroom here. Now we need somebody with the exact opposite voice.
Oh, I'm Max Headroom.
Oh, I'm the other guy.
Yeah, he's got a cool voice, but I'll bet that's years of schmoking or something, did it?
Yeah.
I wrote here, this is an actual audio from Brian's Prom, but I wrote Nigel sounds like Ibbot on prom night. So just take it for whatever you want.
There's a little bone on the left side. A little bone which, if bound to a man, stirs up the greatest lust.
I want to be rich and famous.
Then stick with me.
All right.
Mm, yep, that's...
Is that familiar? Did it feel,
I was even... Yeah, and What is Love by Howard Jones was even playing at my prom. I recorded that, so it...
That is such an odd licensed song, I thought, for use in here.
Yeah, and then they had a new song by Howard Jones playing in the diner before the front loader wrecked town for 10 minutes before Supergirl did anything about it.
That's weird. They tapped Hojo for his whole catalog.
It's weird. Exactly. It's a weird Weird licensing.
Here's the Linda Lee moment.
On Earth, I'm Lee. Linda Lee.
On Earth, I'm Lee. On Earth, I'm Lee.
That should have been, if I was the principal, I would have heard her say, on Earth, I'm Lee, and say, I don't think you're going to work out here at the school.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
You probably should get out of here. Something going on with the big guy. I don't know what this means.
My sister's got something going with the big guy.
Oh, Lois.
Talking about Superman.
She has a weird trail off voice. Listen.
With the black hair and the big muscles.
It's not just a hair.
A little slurry. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. That's when they're in the shower and all the boys at home are like, ooh. This is the first movie I think I ever saw that referenced this place.
I'll see you later at Popeye's then, okay?
I'd never heard of Popeye's until.
Oh, right. Yeah, boy, it looks like it. Logo, everything, nothing has changed. The big sign still says, love that chicken. It's like, wow, Popeye's never changed anything.
No, we just didn't have one growing up. So for me, it was like this mythical place. You'd say Popeye's chicken. I'm like, what? Where? And then I'm like, oh, I don't live in any of the places that have it. But now they're everywhere here, so.
Yeah.
And I kind of like Popeye's. It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How to say you're single?
At the present moment in time, I'm currently enjoying a single status in my personal life.
Okay.
He sounds so much like Mulder there.
Ellis, like, I didn't pick it up until, you're putting the photos and talking about it in the Discord. I'm like, but now hearing it, it's like, how did I miss that this is Hans, Buddy?
Yeah. And he's... It's also now that Dunaway says it, that's a very Mulder-y sound. Listen to that again.
At the present moment in time, I'm currently enjoying a single status in my personal life.
Yeah, it's like a New York accented Mulder. That's weird.
Nasal,
What?
Did anybody care whether this guy lives or dies? Like, there's this huge long sequence where he's being attacked by a earth-moving machine. And like, I just didn't care. I was just like, oh, if he gets killed now, that would be good for the movie.
Fine with me.
Yeah. Only when she started caring about him did I care about him.
Yeah, I guess so. I kind of like how this movie really waved away the secret identity thing at the end, where it just trusted three or four people to never say anything.
Yeah,
I don't trust that. That never works. That should be on Twitter in the next 5 minutes. You know, some of the, Ellis
I did it with Supergirl.
That's right. He'd be all shirtless in a photo, pointing at her. Who knows what he'll do. All right, that was magic.
That was magic, damn it.
Damn it.
magic,
damn it.
Damn it.
Damn it.
That Faye Dunaway doing her Oscar-worthy performance there in Supergirl. Here's Jimmy Olsen shows up.
He's probably on drugs, and he's going to get creamed if he's not too careful.
Oh.
If it's not too careful.
Thanks, Jimmy.
I can write an article about it.
Yeah, and go back to fake New York. All right, bring him to me, says, what's her name?
Bring him to me.
Okay.
Ooh, me?
Now, that was kind of sing-songy. It gets weirder. This line here, I swear she's about to break into song. So, okay, I'm going to play that one again just so we get a little taste of it.
Bring him to me.
There's like we're going into some song, right? Now this one, where I really do feel like she's about to sing. Here you go.
Don't look at her.
I'm telling you, dude.
Don't look at her.
It sounds like a show tune. Yeah, like a
totally does.
Oh, it's so weird.
And the idea is that witches rhyme. That's how you do spells. If you don't rhyme it, then it doesn't have any power. Is that the deal?
Is that what they're doing?
Yes. Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
bubble, toil and trouble sort of thing. Yeah,
little
sure.
Sing-songy rhyme.
Hate
yeah.
Hate it.
Don't look at her.
Look at
like you once looked at me.
Don't look at her.
That is beautiful.
Oh, man. All right. Say the name. Oh, we got to say the name in the movie. I always love these. Here you go.
A Supergirl.
Yeah.
Yep. Like some kind of Supergirl.
I wish the movie was titled A Supergirl.
A Supergirl. Right. That implies the existence of other Supergirls.
Just super.
Yeah.
I love that the poster says underneath the Supergirl, her first great adventure and her last.
And her last.
Yeah. No, I added the last part.
Yeah. Well, look, your part was right. Yeah. What is it? Oh, here's Nigel again.
What's in it for me?
Me.
Aha.
Oh.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Dearly beloved. Let's see. Pure. Oh, this is what the stick is made of.
Pure, unadulterated evil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
Well.
Yeah, and feathers.
And feathers. Probably a little bit of, I don't know.
Put your stick with my ball and let's make some magic.
Yep. Stupid voodoo crap. All right, here's a final clip.
It's all right, Supergirl. We never saw you.
We never even heard of you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that ain't going to go
that
well.
That should be our conclusion. Well, that clip could be the whole episode of Film Sack.
Yeah, it could be. Didn't those two, so those two are together now. Jimmy really. Olsen and the friend.
Right. Yeah, okay. Because he can't have Lois Lane, so he gets her sister.
So stupid.
Little Lane.
Right. I don't think they addressed it in 4, which came out later. Right?
I can't remember. That's a good question.
I don't remember either. Anyway, whatever. Like, this movie cares about canon. I don't know why I'm worried about it. All right. It's great. Time for that to end and this to start. I have the Film Sack checklist right here.
I got it right here.
That's right, damn it. And here's what it says. Freaked out principal trope, check. Faye Dunaway as a terrible Lexi Luthor, check. Death by stupid tornadoes, check. That was in there. That was really dumb. The Star Trek connections, I have to think there is at least got to be one here.
Sure. Let's go two, though.
Okay.
There's really only one, but let's go two. Because this film features music composed by Jerry Goldsmith. We have the entire score. Jerry is a Jerry Goldsmith thing. As you know, Jerry Goldsmith was the composer who made the music for Star Trek, the motion picture, and the Final Frontier. And then, especially the TNG ones, he was
the Enterprise stuff. Yeah.
Composer for First Contact and Insurrection and TNG. Nemesis.
Yeah. He's our most heard, music guy on here, right?
He's gotta be.
If he's not, I'd be shocked by that. I feel like we bring
I'm not trusting our stats right now, but let's get on to Matt Frewer, because I think this guy has such an outsized influence, at least in my history as a entertainment viewer. Like it's not that I just know him as Max Headroom, but his voice was so common in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was especially in an episode of The Next Generation. He played Berlinghoff Rasmussen in the season 5 episode, A Matter of Time.
Yep.
Max Headroom of Time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like he's just Max Headroom. Like, he's got this character. In that episode, he's a time traveling, like, petty thief.
Well, I thought the thing was he tried to convince him that he was a time traveler, but he was just a thief.
No, he has a time machine.
He does. Okay.
That he accidentally obtained from the distant future,
yeah.
And he's actually from the past. He's figured out how to make it come to the current time, and he comes to the Enterprise and he tries to steal their stuff, and then they capture him before he gets in his time machine and it automatically disappears. So now he's trapped in time and he goes to space jail. But this is a true story.
I have a
true story about that episode. That role, Berlinghoff Rasmussen, that role was almost played by Robin Williams.
Oh my.
Robin Williams had to drop out when the filming for the episode of the show conflicted with another project and they couldn't move the filming of the show.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It would have been legendary to have Mork from Ork.
Yeah,
as this guy, I just would have been amazing.
He, my kids love him because he was Panic in the Hercules animated Disney movie. The little one of those two little weasel guys, it was him and Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah, it's great. I love it. It's back when I thought I liked James Woods, but anyway, Matt Frewer was recently in his most recent credit, in fact, but also I just thought he was amazing, and it was this judge in the Perry Mason HBO show that just happened.
Oh, right,
he's great in it. Like, yeah. And he's working like crazy. Look at him. The Magicians, Fear the Walking Dead, The Order, Castlevania, Altered Carbon, Orphan Black. Like, he's doing just fine, this Matt Frewer. You stop chewing gum. You stop chewing gum on camera, people hire you, buddy. That's what happens.
That's the thing. That's the key.
Yep. Soundtrack great. I'm going to give this movie a F for fine. It's fine.
Fine.
It's not like, you know. Yeah. Goldsmithy, it's fine, whatever.
It's certainly not the worst thing about the film.
No If anything, it might be the best thing, but it's not also not remarkable in his catalog of music. Well,
what can you do, right? You don't want to completely just copy Superman.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so, like, but you don't want it to be so different, right?
Yeah. No,
so
I agree.
So it ends up just being boring music.
Yeah, I agree. It just sort of is. Let's get to the social media post. It's where you guys got to sum this thing up in a number of characters or less. Let's start with Randy this week.
Supergirl, like taking the local tarot card reading lady on a picnic date, and then in the middle of it, she steals your Cadillac Seville and strands you out in the woods. Hmm. All you could do is watch and wince and feel emasculated, but slightly turned on. Is that a banana in your pocket, or is it your Peter slash tool?
Ooh.
Oh, very good.
I really thought I sensed a Saturday Night at Ed's house.
I was waiting.
Yeah.
Felt right. But
it's harder to do with the movie full of women, because that's kind of the opposite of Randy's Saturday Night at Ed's house.
Yeah, trope. Good point.
But is it a banana in your pocket, or is it a Peter slash tool?
Yeah, it's a Peter slash tool. Peter, or O-Tool. Yeah. It's his O-Tool. all right, moving on. Let's do Dunaway now.
Supergirl, like Squirt from the Phantom Zone. No, I don't want your Phantom Zone Squirt. Stop offering me your Squirt. No, I will not get used to it. Now, get your Squirt out of my face. Yeah. Hashtag, the Phantom Zone is a window pane.
Yeah, it is. Pain in the window is what it is.
Squirt?
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 Also?
Squirt? No, stop squirt. Offering me Squirts.
No more Squirts.
WDW, I'm tired of Squirt.
Yeah. And speaking of Squirts, it's Brian Ibbett.
I have two. Supergirl, they went from outer space to inner space to a waste of space. Oh. And Supergirl, Kara Zor-El travels to Earth and fails the Bechdel test.
Oh, man. That's the truth. That's a true thing.
The villains. So, I mean, everybody in this movie fails the Bechdel test.
Well, you nailed it. Let's find out what they almost called this film. According to these alternate titles I have here, this was almost called Peter O'Toole's Weird Tools, because those things he was, that stupid wand and the ball and everything, it was weird. Yeah, yeah. Or it was almost called Twister 2 because of the last 5 minutes. Mm. Yeah. That would have been weird because Twister 1 hadn't even come out for another 10 or 12 years.
No, I know.
Years.
The sequel coming out before.
Wow. Weird. That's some Phantom Zone right there. All right, let's get to an email. This came to us to filmsack@gmail.com from Chroma Ghost. And this is a weird email because the entire email is in his subject line. He didn't put it in the body.
awesome.
All right, yeah, great. Very odd. It came across as this giant text. And it was very weird. But anyway, it reads fine. It says, "Hey, guys, I was listening to the From Russia with Love episode, and I was surprised nobody brought up this piece of trivia. The reason Kieran Bay was using a cane in the film was because he developed cancer from the filming of the Howard Hughes film called The Conqueror. Pedro Armendariz was actually dying while filming From Russia with Love took his own life shortly after the film was completed. While they were filming The Conqueror, Howard Hughes picked a plot of land that was irradiated, but was told the cast and crew were completely safe. When reshoots were required, he actually paid to have dirt from the filming location transported to the film lot for the reshoots.
Oh my God.
Several stars ended up developing cancer of some form, which eventually led to their deaths, such as John Wayne, Agnes Moorehead, Pedro Martinez, this guy, and Susan Hayward. All in all, the 220 person cast and crew members have died from being exposed to the radiation of some cancer or another, says Chroma Ghost. I did not know any of that. That is nuts.
Wow.
Wild. So all the stories
is
about
that on Wikipedia?
I don't think so. Maybe. Might be. I don't know where that is. That's just wild, though.
Oh, Brian, you're always looking for the callback.
I'm going to look it up because that's interesting to me. I don't know how. What did Howard Hughes die of? I don't remember what he died of.
Loneliness.
Craziness. Yeah,
drowned in his own pee.
Yeah, something like that. He's a weird dude. Please send your emails in filmsack@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. I'd like to welcome some new folks to our Patreon. Perfect time for you to join up because Brian Ibbett just posted a fantastic monthly episode where he breaks down what works in time travel and what doesn't and why he thinks it's important. And I, for one, agree with him on all points. And now I'm annoyed by most time travel movies. But,
well, thank you.
It's very good.
I mean, I'm sorry and thank you.
Yeah, sorry and thank you. But check it out. It's very good. And if you're a patron, you'll get it right away, along with many other benefits. We have Tyrick Thorne has joined us, Jesper Helgren, F you, Mr. Magoo, has joined us. Hey. And Gordon Burnett. All of you are awesome. I'd like to know more about F you, Mr. Magoo, but that'll come later, I suppose. But if you want to be like them, you'll never get a commercial. You get pre-show content every week, including today, monthly specials, like I mentioned, and movie-related art prints from me in the mail. Other great stuff, too. So go check it out, patreon.com/filmsack. Our next movie is going to be... Well, how are we doing this? We're doing a watch-along.
Yeah, we're going to watch TV's Christmas special.
That's right. We're doing Doctor Who's Last Christmas, Season 8, Episode 13. Is it the lady or no? Do we determine?
I don't know, man. So many doctors.
We got a little Christmas coming, though, and we're going to do a watch-along. That means we want you guys to prepare ahead and have that handy wherever Doctor Who is streaming. So where is it streaming?
Or maybe dig into your Doctor Who DVDs, Blu-rays.
HBO Max.
Has it? Okay.
It's definitely on BritBox, which if you don't have,
which I don't have.
Yeah, my Canadian in-laws are going to watch it on BritBox.
Hold on. We should look this up. Doctor. Mm-hmm.
I don't see it anywhere except for premium stuff.
Oh, really?
Just watch.
And BritBox.
I thought HBO had all the...
We're on HBO Max.
Oh, so they have like a special reasons. One?
Okay. Mine didn't say that.
Mine didn't either.
Looking at it on HBO Max.
Really? It's not on...
Send me the link, man.
Yeah, well,
sure,
okay.
You don't have like a subprime subscription or something. Send me the link.
No, that's cool. So if that's the case, then what we'd like you guys... We haven't done one of these in a while, so what we want you to do at home is you cue that up and you'll listen to our soundtrack while us plus you, so that I mean five people in every case at least.
Us plus you.
We'll be watching it together. And then the week after that, we're doing Europa Report, which is just a normal episode. We got a bunch of travel and holiday stuff, so that's why you're going to get some interstitial watch-alongs. But we got it all figured out, so there's content every week. Don't worry, everybody. We got you covered. So that's next week, the Doctor Who episode, and then Europa Report, another full film after that. In the meantime, we are at filmsack.com. You can find all this information there, including links to the Patreon and our email address and everything else. So go check it out and be a part of the larger community, okay? All right. That's going to do it for us.
Okay.
for Brian, and for Randy.
Supergirl.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Pure, unadulterated evil.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts.
here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.